I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and you're listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark. And each night we'll bring you the best and the brightest, authors and experts with solutions, the topics you want to hear, and the people who know to bring it to you. So let's do it together. Let's get to the heart of the issues that face us every day, right here, right now, on Dresser After Dark, coast to coast and around the world.
Realtor and landowner Reed Rosenthal is author of Land for Love and Money and the accompanying workbook Green for Green. And throughout his career, he's consulted with governments on two continents and investors in all areas related to land ownership and management, including planning and improvement, conservation, easement, preservation, tax, and finance. Reed, hi, welcome to the show.
My pleasure to be here, Michael.
By the way, let me read the first paragraph of your press release, because I think that will lay a great base for where we want to go. The demand for raw land and big open skies is increasing in the West as never before, and one group buying parcels of land in places like Wyoming and Montana is the retiring baby boomers. The struggling economy has prompted real estate ownership to become a key component in their retirement plans, either as a haven or a profitable investment. Reed, when did you realize that that trend was moving that way?
You know, the trend has been moving that way for several decades, but I think it's beginning to accelerate despite what can only be called a general economic malaise. There's a very interesting article in Reuters today by the chairman of J.P. Morgan talking about the scarcity of land and how governments around the world are actually starting to purchase land and farmland, and because it's such a great inflation hedge.
You know, it's an interesting thing that land in and of itself would become one of our most valuable commodities. And if you really think about it, we've built on almost everything, and there's not that much land left.
You know, what there's least of is worth most, Michael Ray. And one of the things that I think people are realizing is that in this day and age, with inflation looming, I mean, when you increase money supply, as has been done for the last, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years, but over the last 10 to 15, you have inflation. There's no escaping
yep.
it. You can go back through economic history for 2,000 years. And land is a tangible. You know, land is something that you can walk on. It's kind of like a numismatic. It's like gold that you can use rather than stock away in your drawer. And people are also understanding that land, if purchased properly and operated properly, can save them all sorts of taxes, which is also becoming more and more important in today's economic environment. It's getting them out of urban areas, and I think maybe subconsciously there's a sense of security being in a small town rather than a big city in uncertain
yeah.
times.
And
additionally, you know, if you class all your property or a portion of your property as a business, a legitimate business, you can get write-offs, which normally you could not get under any other form of ownership. Last but not least, you know, and the book title is kind of like this, Land for Love and Money. There's a money component to land, but there's a spiritual component to land. And I think there's very few people who haven't stood on a hill, breathed in deeply, looked at the vista, and felt better.
Yeah.
And I think that is also something that's driving baby boomers who 60 years ago were probably being brought up in agrarian communities. We've only been an urban society for about six decades.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, agrarian, meaning farming communities. You know, I would venture to guess, Reed, that there's a lot of people who have no idea what that word means anymore.
Unfortunately not, but fortunately many are beginning to learn it again.
Yeah. No, and by the way, I completely agree with that spiritual aspect. There is something very special about standing on land that hasn't really been touched at this point, and what you're getting is the way it was, you know, 500 years ago.
And how many other investments are there that can maintain value, that you can create value in, that make you feel good, that offer you security, that if you're, and I don't mean over-leverage, but if you leverage carefully, can provide you a great ROI, and in the end, provide a home and a way of life?
No question about it. Now, when you talk about land in and of itself, there's a tremendous amount of misconception about land ownership. When people look at land, for the most part, how do they see it before they really know?
You know, I think a lot of people, Michael, people that I work with, land has kind of a mystery or a mystique. you know, there's about 28 million, give or take, landowners in America, North America, actually, and about 5.6 million, the National Association of Realtors estimates, want to buy land right now. But a lot of the people that we work with don't know much about it. And they get confused between what they've gone through in buying a home with what they'll go through in buying a piece of land. And that doesn't matter whether it's an acre on the shores of Lake Michigan for a cabin, or 2 acres on the coast, or 20 acres in Northern California for horses, or 1,000 acres in the Rockies. There's universal truths, and people don't know them, and what people don't know, you know, makes them fearful. I think additionally, a lot of people have heard about pitfalls or disasters related to land. And yes, you know, you can have a disaster related to any investment, including real estate or any part of real estate. But if you do your homework up front, if you do your due diligence, you know what to look for, you know the boogeymen, if you will, that can eat you, and you make sure that they're not present on the property that you're purchasing, then you can avoid, in most cases, all of that. I think also a lot of people have heard some horror stories because there's been a lot of press on about eminent domain, government intrusion on private property rights. That's certainly becoming more and more rampant, but there's ways to fight that. There's ways to ensure that it can't be done. There's ways to turn it back if a local state, county, or federal agency tries to, shall we say, manipulate either your land ownership or property rights. And the other thing that I might add is that, you know, one of the things which people don't look for, and they really should when they're buying a piece of land, they do when they buy a house, but I have a rule in real estate: never trust thy neighbor's taste.
Huh.
Okay? You know, the worst thing that could happen to somebody is to go out and buy their dream 10 acres or their dream 20 acres or whatever size parcel it is, put that time, sweat, and energy in it, vest in it emotionally, vest in it financially, and then the guy next door thinks that a pink trailer, you know, is the greatest piece of architecture since sliced bread. That doesn't do much for your land values.
No. No. But how do you avoid something like that? How can you find out in front what you've got next to you?
Well, by doing your due diligence. I mean, listen, we have a 127-point checklist that we check off when we do due diligence on a property. Now, this is not true over the last year or two, but when times are good, our group may look at up to 1,200 pieces of property a year. About 30 of those make the first cut. About half of those we actually visit. And about a third of those we go through the entire due diligence process and eventually purchase. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. But once again, you're making a lifetime investment both in your soul and in your pocketbook. And some of the things that people don't look for is, you know, what are the neighbors planning to do with their land? I gave you one example previously. Another really key one is water rights and water availability. My personal opinion is 10 years from now, water is going to be the oil of the 2020s. I mean, there's less water than there is oil on the planet, or less usable water. So people don't investigate that. You know, there's nothing worse than buying a piece of ground, imagining this great little pond you're going to build, you know, out on that other second acre that you have to enhance your property and have a little fishing hole or whatever your goal is, to find out that somebody upstream owns the water right and you can't dig the pond because you can't fill it. You know, those are the types of things which can be easily avoided if you put together a good team at the outset, you have a good checklist of what to look for and what to avoid, and you know, if you have the gumption, if it were, to, if you run into a problem that is not solvable or could be a considerable risk, to walk away no matter how much you like that piece of land. One thing I see people doing, they talk themselves into a deal. Okay?
Yeah.
No deal is better than a bad deal.
Yep. No, I hear you, by the way, loud and clear when it comes to, Reed, we're starting to run out of time. Is there a website we can find you at?
Absolutely. www.reedlrosenthal.com.
Yeah, by the way, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I was going to say that we could have talked for hours about this. I'm going to have Radio Susie give you a contact you, and we're going to have you come back on the show.
Yeah, well, it would actually be my pleasure.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, and the website now we can find you.
Yes, www.reedlrosenthal.com and RanchesOfTheWestInc.com. RanchesOfTheWestInc.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Reed, thank you so much for spending the time with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Take care. Good night.
Bye now.
And if there's a subject that you would like to hear addressed on the show or someone you would like to hear interviewed, contact Radio Susie. You can find her on the homepage of the website, www.dresserafterdark.com. You can find all of our guests on the guest page on our website, just in case you missed the name of their book, their website, or any other contact information, www.dresserafterdark.com. Thanks for listening, and if you're listening on the web, tell your local radio stations about the show. That's the way we grow. That's what you call networking. I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and that, my friends, is a wrap.